Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Today we have two things we're going to talk about. First, we're going to air the rest of our conversation with Hawaii County Council Chair Aaron Chung and Council Vice Chair Karen Eoff. You may hear part one online at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. In part two today, we're going to talk more about the Council's priorities, including addressing the homeless situation, road repairs, and more. And we talk about what should be done to address a council member who's decided to just not do their job, as happened in the last term with one council member from Puna. But before we get to that, we're going to find out about Community Cares, a nonprofit organization that provides support for cancer patients, and their upcoming fundraiser, which is next Saturday, January 19th at Old Airport Park Pavilion. To that end, a big welcome to Tiana Steinberg, who runs Community Cares. Good morning. Aloha, Tiana.
Aloha. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. Why don't you explain what exactly is Community Cares, your nonprofit organization?
It's all-volunteer nonprofit group. We're here on the Big Island. We provide help to cancer patients all here on the Big Island. We get beautiful, wonderful people from the Big Island to support and help us with our different events and helping us raise money for our local community, help with families in need. And a big part of it is helping with the cancer patients.
Okay, and what do you provide for cancer patients and where?
We have a cancer resource center and wig closet located in my shop at Tiana's Avon and Wigs. And that's on Luhia Street in the old industrial area.
Tiana, you said you provide wigs and you also, I know, provide head covering for folks with cancer who are undergoing chemotherapy. Is there any place else on the island that that kind of support is provided?
Not a hands-on support. The Cancer Society closed their office on the Kona side and they moved to the Hilo side. They are not able to do hands-on work with the cancer patients, but we provide that one-on-one. We go from A to Z because most people are not familiar with wearing wigs.
So what you're really supporting is some of the folks who are having chemotherapy tend to lose their hair, and you provide a way for them to feel a little bit better about themselves is what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yes. There's a whole emotional roller coaster you go through when you're diagnosed. So it can get you emotionally, financially, physically, with the hair loss, with your skin texture that changes too, the texture of your skin, the color of your skin. There's a whole gamut of emotions you go through. Now, having to deal with all of that, we want to help alleviate part of that pressure with the wigs.
Tiana, I'm curious, how many people take advantage of the service that you offer? How many patients do you see on any given day or month?
Well, per month, we usually get an average of 8 to 10 people per month.
Really? How did you get inspired to start this support group, this Community Cares that provides wigs and head covering and other kinds of support for cancer patients?
I myself was diagnosed with a cerebral brain tumor. I went on to a clinical trial, eventually lost my hair. Actually, rather quickly, because all of the trial was directly into my head. So I lost my hair, and just the emotions that I went through, the weight loss, the hair loss, the appetite and sickness, all of that I can actually relate to with the cancer patients. I didn't go through chemotherapy or go through radiation, but I went through the trial where they injected it directly into my tumor to reduce it small enough to operate with me having a better chance of survival, or to reduce it completely. Mine was reduced completely.
So wow.
That's a real blessing to me, and I had a lot of help. And that was on the mainland. Having all that help and the support meant a lot to me. So this is another way to help, to pass it forward.
That's so interesting. Wow. Well, you look great. I mean, one would not know that you had a brain tumor. How long ago was that?
It's about 24 years. I've been here 22 years on the island. However, probably about 8 years ago, because I'm still on the clinical trial, I'll be on it for life. About 8 years ago, the tumor came back. So we treated it quickly, and I'm still here.
Good. So that's kind of what inspired you to do this. When folks come to you, what's the process? Can anybody come to you who's a cancer patient? Do they get referred by the Cancer Society? Help us understand what the procedure is.
There are people who are referred by the Cancer Society. There are people referred by oncology groups, both North Hawaii and Kona Community Hospital. There are some people who listen to the radio or read the paper and know about our community cares group. And that's how they come over to the shop. I've had people say, well, I remember reading about your story, and, well, I've been diagnosed.
Give us an estimate of the price range for the wigs that you can provide to cancer patients. How much are they going to have to pay?
That's a good question. And the answer is free.
Really?
It's free of cost. And that's why we have our annual Community Cares event. And notice that in the name, Community Cares, and it is that. Your community cares about you.
Wow.
And so we provide all of that free of cost. The wigs, the head coverings, the turbans, the hats. And we also give, with the wig, we give a wig cap as well as a wig stand. We can't really afford to do the wig shampoo and conditioner and such, but we recommend Woolite. I know that sounds funny, but Woolite is just as good, if not better, to clean the wigs.
Okay, well, that's good to know if I ever need a wig.
Yeah, we have on with each person that comes in, they get up to 4 free wigs.
Oh, my goodness.
Or up to $200 in wigs.
Curious question. I'm assuming that you mostly have female patients. Do male patients come to you as well?
Yes, we do have male patients. There is not as many as the female patients, but we do get a few male patients throughout the year.
The Community Cares event that's coming up this Saturday at Old Kona Airport, is that your primary source of funding? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, where do you get funds? Does the Cancer Society provide you with any funds?
No, they do not.
So basically, you depend on donations and fundraisers such as you're having.
Correct.
Okay.
And that goes back to the name, to the community. The community, we get it all from them. We do it our annual fundraiser. Plus, we have people who hear about this, and then they donate. They send in a check, or they send in products or gift certificates for us to use. We have some clients that come in and say, okay, I read about your story. I heard about your story. We want to donate free airfare for anyone who needs to go from Kona to Oahu.
Wow.
You know, you get chicken skin. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you. You know, go to tears on that one, tears of joy. So we get those type of donations as well.
You are the only facility on the island that really does this. You mentioned that you get referrals from North Hawaii Hospital and from Kona Community Hospital. Do you also get patients from the east side of the island?
Oh, yes.
All right.
So all around the island.
Okay, so give us a brief look at what's happening this Saturday at the fundraiser so folks know how they can support you. It's at Old Kona Airport Pavilion. What time does it start and end?
It starts at 10 o'clock and ends at 3. Oh my goodness, we have so many booths. Part of Community Cares is also helping the community to realize what's available to them here on the island. And so we also have community outreach booths, which include the Domestic Abuse Shelter, Kona Hospice, Kona Community Hospital, North Hawaii Community Hospital, and the Cancer Society. So they set up booths to share out their information as well. Now, the fun part of the booths.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, the fun part's really what I think will draw people in. And I saw your flyer. You have a theme this year, Over the Rainbow. It's beautiful.
Yes. Over the Rainbow, ... Wizard of Oz style. So we have the theme of Wizard of Oz, and we have wonderful entertainment. It's going to be hosted by Poncho Man, our entertainment, Sabrita and Hula. And we have the Florox B-Boy Battle at High Noon. And we have Chris Fuchigami.
Ooh, Chris is an ukulele virtuoso. He's terrific.
He is.
This is exciting.
Awesome. Okay. And Lopaka Roots. And he's a local artist, too. That's really awesome as well. But we also have the fun stuff. The caricature guy coming out. Haircuts, fantasy face painting, lovely hair braids, cornrows and braids.
Oh, cool.
And people are going to be walking around with pink in their hair. Massages, nail art. A cool photo booth. Of course, we have all the Wizard of Oz props and such. And some vendor booths as well. But our main focus is a silent auction. I think we have, and yes, we're patting ourselves on the back, one of the best silent auctions here on the Big Island.
What are some of the kinds of things that people can get at the silent auction? Give us a real brief look at that.
Like resort stays, food gift certificates, outdoor gift certificates.
Is there an entry fee for Saturday's event at Okona Airport, or you really make the money from all the different vendors and booths and food, everybody donating the money to you?
We make the money off of that, basically, and then the rest is we have a $5 donation at the door. That's a donation. And we have a food booth as well. We sure would like to see a lot of people out there. We have so many volunteers donating their time and efforts to put this event on. Everybody is donating their time. So if you can come on out, eat some good grinds, check out all the vendor booths, and even get a little bit of information from our community outreach booths, listen to some great music, I'm sure you won't be disappointed.
Okay, so the Community Cares fundraiser is this Saturday at Okona Airport Pavilion, goes from 10 o'clock till 3. If people want to contact you, Tiana Steinberg, at Tiana's Avon and Wigs.
Facebook, Tiana's Avon and Wigs. You can also call me directly, 808-896-6310.
And your shop is located where, if people want to drop into your shop?
At 74-5599 Lujia Street, in the old industrial area.
And that's directly across from Ola Brew. Tiana Steinberg, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Aloha.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you for getting the word out about our event.
Okay. And that was our conversation with Tiana Steinberg about her community cares and the wigs and head coverings that she provides for cancer patients. The event Community Cares is next Saturday the 19th at Okona Airport from 10 to 3. Definitely a worthy cause. And of course, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And you may hear these interviews online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Next Sunday morning, our guest is Jay Ignacio, president of Hawaiian Electric Light Company. Helco, as you know, lost a lot of facilities in the summertime lava flow. I'm interested in getting an update in what's new with recovery and how the island's doing with the reduction of power with the loss of Puna Geothermal and what the future holds. Right now, we're going to continue our conversation from last week with Hawaii County Council Chair Aaron Chung and Vice Chair Karen Eoff. And if you want to hear part one of that, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. My next question is for Aaron. In 2018, we all had one county council member who was elected to a position and decided on her own to not do the job. She suddenly abdicated her position. However, she kept on taking the pay, kept on retaining the title. clearly this is not a situation that was anticipated, because who would run for county council? You guys work hard to get elected. So it wasn't something that anybody probably ever thought could occur. Should some change be made to allow the county council to step in rapidly? Should some future council member decide to just not do the job? Chair Chung will answer this.
Well, let me take a stab at it, all right? Now I can safely speak for all of my colleagues of that last council. I think everyone respected, or maybe I should say, did not disrespect what Councilwoman Ruggles was thinking and perhaps even doing. After all, we all have our different philosophies about things, and she's entitled to her beliefs. But what happened here was that she was still receiving, as you pointed out, her pay. And that, I think many members of the public, I would have to say an overwhelming percentage of the people in the public, found that to be objectionable. And I personally felt that we should have docked her pay. I'm not trying to pick on her or anything like that, but...
Well, she's the only one who just didn't do her job.
So. Right, right. But in terms of making any kind of structural changes to avoid that type of situation, I really think that this was a very unique type of thing. I don't think it's going to happen again, and I don't think we should really be devoting too much energy into trying to prevent or protect ourselves from that type of situation. I really don't. I just don't think it's going to happen again.
Yeah. I think if it did, the council might react more strongly. I think the last time, well, when Jen Ruggles did that, I think it was just such a surprise and nobody could believe it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, let's hope it never happens again, because that's not good. Are there other priorities that you all want to mention that we should know that you're going to address or want to address, Karen Ioff?
First of all, I want to see us focus on affordable housing for residents. And like I said before, I'm hoping that what's going to happen to help reestablish homes for people in the Puna area can filter into the rest of the island as far as a model for building affordable, whether they're apartments or houses, looking at all of the potential there. But I don't want to forget about the elderly. I'm interested in, because we do have probably a growing population that will be aging here on our island, I think we need to provide living situations that are actually affordable. Because right now, the few that we have, there are more in Hilo, but in Kona especially, there's nothing that people can really afford in order to stay in their community, but age gracefully, maybe not in their kids' houses. I visited some places on the mainland not too long ago and saw some real interesting solutions happening over there. It's sort of like trendy, actually. It's actually, I think whoever decides, and there is a developer doing a project in Hilo currently who is looking at other sites on this island, and he's done several on the mainland. And I think it's what we need to see happening here.
Well, like there's, what kind of project?
There's facilities where people that are still living independently but can live in an apartment sort of setting where they can have help nearby and easily to get to them if they do need help. There's communal dining areas, so people in maybe their 80s, you know, I have an auntie that's like 95. She still lives independently in a place like this, but she doesn't have to cook for herself anymore. There's also in the same facility people who have assisted living, so nurses check on them all the time. And then there's even to the memory care centers and the hospitalization all the way to hospice. So a place like this can comfortably transition somebody from where they go from being able to live independently all the way to where they need a lot of care.
So you're talking about something sort of like Hualalai Regency?
I am, but something a little more hopefully affordable to our residents.
Well, they do have a lot of those kind of facilities on the mainland of all different payment models and all different levels. And there's also on the mainland, I know, some places where they put small single-family units together with a common dining hall.
There's options, and it does also create a lot of jobs. There was a project that we approved on Hualalai Road. I think it was either last term.
No, I remember that.
Early last term.
Where is that anyway?
I found out that part of their funding source fell apart. But the approvals or the, you know, it's ready to go. The plan was there, the approvals from the county. There was an affordable housing component for the assisted nursing training part of it component. I don't know. We're going to have to look at that one, because I think that was disappointing to see that it isn't already started.
You know, you mentioned affordable housing, and one thing we haven't talked about is, are you still focused on the homeless population, both of you? Because we have homeless problems all over the island.
Well, I don't think we should ever lose sight of it, given the situation with the lava flow. Of course, you know, we've been distracted somewhat from that.
That created a whole new class of homeless people who never intended to be homeless.
Right. You know, on this one, I've come to the conclusion that this is something that needs to be spearheaded by the administration. You know, they have all of the resources, and I'm not even convinced that this is a situation that has to be solved by government. You know, there's a marvelous, and I can't recall what the name is, but on Oahu, it's these, for lack of a better term, micro housing units.
The one that Duane Carrizo created that's on the way from Honolulu Airport into town.
Right, Big Island Boy. He took me on a tour of it. And I don't know, Karen, if you guys went, but I certainly urge you to take a look at this project because, you know, they're still going, you know, there's several more phases. And really, it really should be a model for what we can do with our homeless population.
And what it does, too, in addition to providing housing and respectable housing, you know, nice housing, there's childcare on site so people can actually have jobs and not worry about how are you going to take care of your children because that's a huge stumbling block. Yeah. Childcare is so expensive.
They started with families with children first. There was a game plan to this management scheme. It's wonderful.
So, Karen, I know that on the west side of the island, the administration had been talking about what's called Village 9, I believe. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
It's still being worked on. I think that's still very viable. And looking at Uluvini, too, we have not too far from the Civic Center, we have Uluvini, which is similar to a transitional housing project that I think you may be referring to on Oahu, but it's a smaller scale. But as I see Village 9, that could morph into something that would bring people off the street, so very basic wraparound services and just whoever we can encourage to start there. And then there would be the transitional housing and even some affordable housing, all built in the same area. It's kind of ripe for that. And we have the two new affordable apartments on Anikeokalole, which is nearby also. One was for families and one is for seniors. So I see this area as developing into a place that does have potential and give people hope for if they start on the bare basics of coming in off the streets, they actually have something to look forward to where they could afford to transition and would provide not only the wraparound services but childcare and what would be needed to help someone get back on their feet.
It was a little disappointing, though, when I saw that the governor, in touting his plan to help people who are homeless, that he took units from the homes at Uluvini and said those were homes that were going to be allocated. They're already units that are allocated for people for affordable or transition housing. That made no sense to me whatsoever. It wasn't adding anything. It was just taking away what we already have.
Sometimes things don't make sense because they have to make it fit in the parameters of what the funds that they receive can be used for. Some of that I didn't quite understand or really agree with either.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see the governor, if he's really promoting helping homelessness be done with, that they take a more aggressive stand. Anything else you'd like to add, Aaron Chung?
Regarding the homelessness issue, you know, and this is something that really stuck in my mind coming off my discussion with Duane Carrizo on Oahu. He told me in order for something like that to succeed, you needed a point person who was willing to give it their all. I mean, really to devote basically their life to seeing this thing through. And, you know, Duane Carrizo, he's just a super humble individual who has a lot of contacts on Oahu, and he was able to draw upon those contacts and build this thing. But he said, you know, for your Big Island, you need a person like that. And, you know, it's kind of too bad because the name that we came up with was a Billy Kinoy. You know, former mayor, somebody with that kind of dynamism and strength of character and who could just get something through. But you need a person like that. It's not going to happen if you have just a lukewarm kind of commitment.
No, I completely agree with that. And Duane Carrizo made it happen with personal magnetism and pressure on the business community and on government, and government was very willing to cooperate with building permits and making it happen faster, because that project really did happen fairly rapidly. He didn't suggest his brother Derek Carrizo, did he?
No. Although Derek would be a wonderful person in that position as well.
He's got the same kind of...
In fact, he might have mentioned his brother. You know, he might have done that.
Well, yeah. Derek, if you're listening, we have a new job for you. I'm sure KTA guys will be very happy to hear that we're recruiting Derek away. But clearly, you know, we have so many needs on this island. During the lava flow, everything became exacerbated, but it didn't make the existing homeless problem go away. And it feels like on the Kona side of the island that it's sort of become a neglected thing. The governor keeps saying that our homeless population has decreased. I heard Rick Blangiardi, who's with Hawaii News Now, the other night in one of his editorials saying exactly the same thing. The governor says our population of homeless folks is less, yet that's not something that we observe. We observe the same or more. And sometimes the same individuals, some who may not want housing, but a lot of people who do.
Right. Well, you know, it's been said that there are three kinds of lies, and not saying the governor's lying or anything, but you have lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? But, you know, sometimes what you see kind of contradicts what you've been told in terms of statistics. And our homeless population is getting worse visually when I look at it. But it really is going to come down to money and funding. And if we had all the money in the world, we could make huge inroads. Where is that money going to come from? I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's an issue. And people sometimes think government can do it all. But as you point out, government cannot do it all. You know, there's a new housing development that Shipman has proposed in Kea'au. And part of their vision is to have apartments that are, I don't know if they're technically by legal definition affordable, but apartments that normal working people can afford. That's what Bill Walter was telling me as far as what his vision was. And that's something the county is going to have to support, thinking outside the box that they're usually thinking in about building permits and what is allowed. And in his case, in the case of the Shipman development, they want to put in not a giant wastewater treatment plant, but smaller, more technologically advanced wastewater treatment plants, things that our county building department isn't used to seeing, but may in fact be the way of the future and the smart way to do things.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, we could have a laundry list of things that are really hampering more efficient use of our resources. And it's all because of our county laws, state laws, even federal laws. But, you know, we have to work within that context, and we try to change things as they come. Karen, you got any thoughts on that?
No, but I agree. The homeless problem is not decreasing.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know I'm not crazy.
Here, right here in this industrial area is an increasing problem, and it's troubling.
Oh, yeah, it is, especially when you see families with children. That's the thing that seems most troubling. Karen, anything else on priorities that you want to mention?
Yes, I want to continue to work on advancing the Anikilkalole Highway Phase 3, which would then extend it from Hinalani all the way to Ka'iminani, where there's a stub out that was built by Palamanui at the time of the campus being built. And that would provide an alternative lateral road for not only our public transportation and buses, but just to avoid congestion that we see a lot of times on Hinalani, Ka'iminani, and Kuinka'amona Highway. So the Phase 3 is definitely on our radar. There's been movement on doing a plan and design and the archaeology studies, and that, I believe, the contract has been awarded. So that should
really
be happening this year.
Oh, that'll be good for the folks in
so
West Hawaii.
So that we can become what's called shovel-ready in case the dollars come around. So the road is expected to cost $40 to $50 million, I'm told. So it's going to have to get on the STIP, the State Transportation Improvement Project List, and then it will get an 80-20 funding source, which means the county would be responsible for about 20% of that. So we need about probably $10 million.
What's your estimate as to the administration's willingness to push that forward and actually get the money?
Well, starting with, my very first term, that was one of my priorities. So starting with the Kinoe administration, we've tried to make as much progress step by step as we can, knowing that it will be something that it will be built. I don't know how soon. I'd say within the next 4 to 5 years, I'm guessing. So as long as we keep making progress. Some of the projects in my district are very expensive, like that one, so we have to be patient, but it will definitely be a needed improvement in the near future.
Erin, are there other priorities that you think you're wanting to focus on, if possible? Although, that said, dealing with the lava flow and some of the budget issues and the homeless, mm-hmm. the affordable housing is a lot of things to deal with. So is there anything else on your mind?
Yeah, just in terms of my district, and probably it extends to other districts, roads. I don't know how bad it is here on the west side, but in Hilo and east side, we have a lot of rain. So it has a tendency of deteriorating the roadways quickly. And so that's a common complaint. In fact, the most frequent complaint that I get from constituents, it's the condition of our roads. So, yeah, I'd like to do that's why I've been, you know, such a staunch supporter of, you know, the GET increase.
Have you driven down Kinaole Street by the Hawaii Island Board of Realtors? Speaking of rough roads.
Well, you know, they're actually repairing parts of it right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Last time I was there, I was talking to my husband on the phone, and he said, "Where are you?" He said, "You sound like you're driving over heavy gravel." And
right.
It's like,
that's probably one of the worst roads. But right now they're repairing Suli Loi's district. I guess there's no perks to being the council chair because they're not repairing it in my district yet. But I think they'll get around to it at some point.
And you said such nice things about Suli Loi at the inauguration. You might change that now if she's getting
the roads. No. I'm just so fortunate to, you know, be a member of this group. Everything I said was 100% what I felt. This really has the potential of being the best council that I've ever been able to work with or work for. Just the potential, collegiality, it just remains to be seen, but I'm just really expecting good things out of this council. I think we can really work together to get things going.
The good thing is, I think there's a number of you who are experienced. You've been there for 2, 4, 6 years or more, you know, in different capacities. And there's also some new folks who are younger and therefore can carry on. Not that you two are so old, but, you know, you're both going to term out eventually.
Right. And those young ones, you know, Matt, Kaneali Kleinfelder, Ashley Kirkowitz, and Rebecca Viegas, they're the future, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if they are, in fact, the future, then, in my opinion, the future is really bright for the Big Island.
That's good to know. Before we say aloha, I wanted to ask you about one more thing you said in your inaugural speech, Aaron Chung. And you said, you noted that your vice chair, Karen Eoff, was kind, calm, even-tempered, and pleasant. And I have to tell you that I concur with all of that. I've known her for a long time. But that you felt that she could serve as a yin to your yang. Would you like to expand on that?
You take good notes, yeah. Well, you know, she's such a pleasant person, and I'm not all that pleasant. I try to be from time to time, but you need that balance. And whatever I've got going, you know, she's able to temper it. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that's probably a good thing, but I have to congratulate you because there were a couple of situations that came up in the last year that I was delighted to see you sort of jump on people because somebody's got to do that. You can't always be the nice guy, but that's good that you'll be working together.
Right.
In closing our interview, Karen Eoff, what would you like to add? What would you like to say, things I haven't asked you about that you want to comment on?
Well, thank you for giving us a chance to come in and speak with you. And thank you, Aaron, for the kind things that you said about me and everybody else. We were all a little bit nervous because we knew he had chosen to give us each a introduction.
You were worried about a roast is what you were worried about.
Yeah, we didn't know how that was going to come up. No, I thought it was really, really a great way to introduce the council to the people that came for the inauguration. And he's right. We have a really, really good group. Everyone has good skills, different skills. And I think the really good thing is they just seem to be a very willing to work together group. And I think we are all on the same page as far as just wanting to do good for the island. I'm excited about this term as well. I'm glad it's my last term in some ways, and I'm kind of sad in other ways because I really feel happy to be able to serve in this capacity. It's been a very rewarding experience.
Good.
I'm looking forward to this final 2 years.
Well, the thing you mentioned about working together, we see at the federal level what happens when nobody works together.
Yes.
Nothing happens.
I think
the Congress passed 380 bills 10 years ago. This year they passed 38. That's not doing the job of the people. So Aaron Chung, in closing, what would you like to say?
I think I said pretty much everything. But, you know,
okay.
Again, really working with these fine individuals is something that I've been looking forward to. And thank you, Sherry. This is a wonderful program you have, getting the word out.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here. And good luck to us in the county. We will need your support and assistance throughout the next 2 years. Aloha, Aaron.
Thank you, Sherry.
Aloha, Karen.
Aloha, Sherry. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being here. This is Island Issues. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.